This is Be Real, a podcast for big-hearted preteen and teen girls and folks socialized as girls. A shout out to my gender-expansive badasses who are tired of faking it. I'm your host slash new big sibling, Eliza, and this is one of the places I hang out with you and sometimes some badass guests as we figure out together how to turn up the volume on being more of our real selves. It's kind of a relief, right? And sometimes also super hard. Now, a side note. If you're here listening to this episode, it's because somebody loves you. Yep, they thought you'd like this podcast. So congratulations on that. And if you're feeling a little teeny weeny bit resistant, like what the fresh heck is this thing that talks about all the feels? You're not alone. Talking about this stuff can feel weird or a little different since a lot of people don't. My nudge to you as an honorary big sibling is to give it a try. What are you going to lose? This is your life. Don't just be a no because they're sitting right next to you on the couch listening. Hi, I see you. Oh, and if you've got all the feels and you're so excited to listen in, welcome. You're in the right place. I love you. I see you too. Let's do this. Hello, my loves, and welcome to a new episode of Be Real. Eliza here. I am so excited to share this amazing conversation I had with Tina Wells about creativity and the process of being a writer. Tina writes amazing, amazing series of books for preteens, like age 7 through 13, inspired by her own passion for reading when she was that age and in middle school. You might know the best-selling Mackenzie Blue series or the Z Files, and she's got a new series coming exclusively to Target this fall. It was so fun to talk to her about her writing process. We talked about why and when each of us began to call ourselves writers. We both love to write and write in pretty different ways and some similar ways. We talked about favorite writing prompts or exercises, and unsurprisingly, neither of us really fit in the norm of being taught writing, even though there can be a lot of really good stuff there. We talked about how to know what to write about and why her books focus so much on the exploration of friendship and being real and dreaming bigger dreams. Yes, you guessed it. There's a lot of inspiration in her own life, in her own middle school life, and especially in her relationship with her sisters. You might notice that in the title to this episode, I mentioned four preteens. Yes, preteens. I thought it was time you had an episode directed towards you. We give some to teens, don't we? And does this mean teens and older folks don't listen in? Oh, hell no. Come listen. It's just that we're talking about and talking with a writer who writes specifically for this age range. But this conversation about creativity is for everybody. And I hope you come listen in too. Also want to give a shout out to the construction that was happening the floor below Tina in somebody else's apartment. So hang tight with us as there may be some bumps and bangs along the way of this amazing conversation. I loved getting connected with Tina, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, my loves. Eliza here, and I've got a really exciting announcement for you. We're opening up something really special. And it's a 3-month deep dive into the Badass Academy membership. I'm so stoked about this. You can come roll with us for October, November, December. That's it. I mean, and then you can keep going and do whatever you want. But your commitment is just 3 months because think about it. It's a bridge to get us into the winter, to get you solid and supported. And there's a really fun bonus add-on if you want. It's a 3-month mentorship circle. This is where you get your personal mentor, like your big sib, big sis checking in on you every freaking day, sending you those audio love notes, those texts of like, what is it like to be you really? And a small group chat and one group call a month with your circle. Your circle is 3 to 4 people total. That's right. Amazing humans around your age. Plus, if you want, you can do one-on-one calls with your mentor at a low cost. They're so, so amazing. So if you want a bridge of support through this fall into winter to feel less shaky, less alone, even when things are so uncertain,
We got you. We'd be honored to support you. Call your posse and get in a circle together, or come join a circle and make a posse with some amazing badass humans from all over. We would love to have you, me and the mentors and our amazing Badass Academy team. For all the details, as always, head to badassgirls.me/academy, and the link is in the show notes. Tina, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming on Be Real today. I'm so delighted that we get to connect in this way and talk about creativity and writing and feelings, and I'm sure many other things.
Thanks, Eliza. I'm happy to be here, happy to be chatting about the thing I love to chat about most. So thank you.
I love hearing that, you know, because I love writing. I love writing so much. And for a long time in my life, I didn't think I could call myself a writer. Unfortunately, I think that's an experience that I'm not alone in having in the world in general, right? Like, who gets to be called a writer? I think there seemed like something when I was young that, like, how dare you call yourself a writer? Somehow that, like, writer meant author, which then, you know, we can get into lots of the layers of gatekeeping and who gets published and authors and all of that. But like, who are you to think that you are a writer? And or that writing was hard or scary, or there's writer's block. And it just feels so good to be like, I love writing. I'm so excited to hang out with somebody who loves writing too, and to hear the ways you might be similar or different. So I'm curious, did you always consider yourself a writer? And did you always want to be a writer? Was it a love?
So I always wanted to be a writer, and I have not always considered myself a writer. Even now that I do this full time, I still don't. So my kind of story is, I started a marketing company when I was 16, and it was because I had applied for this job I found in the back of 17 magazine to be a writer for a newspaper for girls called the New Girl Times. And so writing actually led me to market research, which led me to run an agency for many years. And during the course of the agency, I actually published my first series, Mackenzie Blue. And I was about 27 when that happened. But no, I still thought I was an entrepreneur, small business owner, running a marketing agency who happened to do these books on the side.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you consider yourself a writer now?
I do.
Does that feel comfortable to you?
Yeah. I'm still getting used to it. You know, 20 plus years of doing some very different kinds of writing. But yeah, I think I'm leaning into it now.
Amazing. Okay. So if, like, you could wave a magical wand and decide who gets to call themselves a writer, or what was the norm in our conversations about being a writer, what do you wish more people knew about writing and being a writer?
I wish more people knew my belief is that anybody can write.
Yeah.
You know, and I wish more people understood that. You know, I went through an experience a few months ago. I had a client and his writing wasn't great. And I was like, what am I going to say? He's like, wants to write a book, and this isn't very good. And I went through, I called his partner and I said, what are we going to do about this? And I thought, okay, I've been a teacher for many years. Can I teach this? And I kind of unraveled and unpacked my own process and said, let me give you a couple exercises. And what came back was so amazing. Yeah. And I was so thrilled. And he even said, oh, I couldn't write before. Now I can. And so it just reinforced to me that I think we all have ideas. And for me, my process is about how to get the ideas out of my head onto a page and have them make sense. And so I do believe that we're all writers if we want to be.
So how did you learn to write? However you would define that.
I learned to write through reading. And so I am not talking about Pulitzer Prize winning, award winning novels. Like, when I was in middle school, the favorite time of the year for me was summer. Mm-hmm. Because my dad, so I'm the oldest of six, my dad would take all six of us to the public library. Yep. And I would check out enough books for the next week, which at that time was like a book a day.
Yeah.
But what I was reading was Fear Street, Sweet Valley Twins. Sweet Valley High. And I would read a book a day over the summer. I was like, I am here for it. Like, give me all the California drama I can take. And that was, you know, for those of us the age, I think that's how we learned about so many things, right? It was just through Through reading. And so, if you think about what I write middle grade. That's where my passion started, was as a middle grade reader. You know, I always kind of was drawn to those kind of stories, and that's what I write and that's what I create now.
Oh my God, I love that. What really comes up for me in hearing you talk about this is this image of you being immersed in character and story, right? Like, give me the juicy character, give me the feelings, the relationships of what's happening then. I was given glasses in the 9th grade because my eye doctor told me I read too much and needed to look at horizons more, and I couldn't see the board as a result of, you know, my nose pressed to a book for most of my life. So I am a single kid. I don't have any siblings. And so my version was books. That was just the world. It was like home alone, reading as many books as I could in a small country town. those were the horizons, and the dreams were the real and the fantasy worlds that I entered into. So I love that that spark is where it began for you. So when you first went to write your books, you know, after doing marketing and all those things, were they characters that had lived in your mind for a while? Like, they've been taking up space for a chunk of time. How did they arrive? How did your first characters arrive? You're like, I want to write about them, or this being, or this question, or this story, or I want to explore this.
Yeah. So that, it's funny. Now that I paired to my marketing background and to my business problem solving background, I was doing focus groups for a Fortune 500 company, trying to help them understand this new emerging consumer called a tween girl. And during a break from a focus group, a mom came up to me and she said, "You seem to know about these things. My daughter's 10 and she's reading Gossip Girl. What should I do?" And at the time, I was in my around my mid-20s, I think Gossip Girl came out, mid-late. And I remember thinking, I love Gossip Girl, but I love Gossip Girl as like a 20-something who's already been through high school, and I can kind of just completely escape in this world. I don't know what I would do if I were a parent and I wanted my daughter to read. And obviously she's intrigued by this world, but now she's kind of taking these fictional scenarios and thinking, I need to mold my life after these girls, right?
Totally. Yeah. Like, the 10-year-old looks and goes, this is real. You look and go, oh, that's a story. I have a lens of analysis that I can. Yeah, totally.
And she's like, that's how I need to behave. And so I started thinking, could I write a story about a girl who was kind, but still finding her way? Because I think that the characters I really related to most growing up, like the Ramonas of the world, were girls who weren't perfect, but they were very real and very relatable. And so I thought about, how do I make a girl who's not perfect, right? We need to see her flaws. We need to see her messed up.
Thank you.
She needs to be relatable. Because I also think at that time in the 2000s, the characters were so perfect and glossy. And we know being a girl is messy. You know, we're like figuring stuff out. We're getting boobs. Like, there's a lot coming at us, you know? And so the idea that I would have to be perfect at 12, you know, and I was a tween before Instagram, right? So I could be awkward and all of that. And so when I started to think about this, it was really, can I create this type of world that really focuses on a good girl at the end of the day? And so that's, I started writing, and I didn't have a lot of time at this point. I was, running the agency full time. And so over my holiday break, I wrote a treatment, and then I started passing it to friends in the industry and said, what do you think? And so that it really started from that idea of, can I make this good girl interesting? And then I started to build a world around Mackenzie. And what's interesting is I've been writing about this girl for over 15 years now. You know, it started as Mackenzie Blue, is now the spinoff that's available at Target called The Z Files. And so I've been writing her stories for a long time, but that's where it started.
Okay. So when you use the word treatment, for people who don't know, what's that? Just going to name some of the terms here so everyone follows.
Treatment. See, I love that you're calling me out. Okay. So say for me, that's like a synopsis, right? So I just wrote what I thought the book should be about. And that's still where I start every single book, is with this treatment that is like 4 to 6 pages. And it's almost as if, the best way I can describe it is, you sit down with a friend for coffee or, you know, Starbucks, a milkshake, whatever. And you say, I want to tell you a story. And then you tell the story.
Yeah.
And that's my starting process. I tell the entire story in less than 6 pages. And then after that, Now, this is when I'm into a series, right? So the beginning, the setup is a lot because I've got to set up all the characters. I have to look for the tension. You know, who's missing? Who's going to make this story really interesting? What are the main characters like? I'm going through this process right now for a new series. And then once I'm in the book, right, you know, even down to their world, where they're living, what's happening. When I moved Mackenzie out of Southern California to the Cotswolds, it was after I had spent a weekend at Soho Farmhouse and I was in the Cotswolds. And I'm like, I think this is a pretty cool place to have a boarding school and make this whole fictional boarding school. And so when I talk about the synopsis of the treatment, I've done a lot of work before then to get to those 4 to 6 pages. That's going to be that specific book.
Yeah. So before the synopsis of the treatment, where does it really start for you? Or can it start in different places? And I hear it started, you know, in this case for you, this question from a parent, right, in this group. So it could be someone asks you a question and gets you start thinking, you know, other ways in a character, a problem you want to look at, something that you feel like is missing in the world that you wish there were books about something. What have been different ways in for you to different books you've written?
I think for me, it all starts with travel.
Love that.
And that's why I think one of many reasons the pandemic has been so tough for so many, but for me is the lack of travel because I'm so curious about people and culture. And when I'm on that train ride from London, to the Cotswolds, or you get these moments of inspiration and you're like, wow, right? Because your mind is wandering, you're taking things in, you're being inspired. And for me, that kind of being inspired creates these sparks, but it's also when I'm doing that, I'm not in a meeting. I'm not on a phone call. Yeah. I'm not occupying my mind in another way. You know,
there's
trains, subway, that time of just like being is when I get the idea and I'm like, I'm going to write a book about that.
Yeah.
I think that's a good character. I think I'm going to build some, and it happens quite often, you know, driving used to be that, but now I'm obsessed with audiobooks.
Yeah. No, it's learning, basically reading more, quote unquote. Yeah.
And these dramatic audio, like people are like, I read so-and-so's not. I'm like, I listen to like thrillers, murder mysteries. I just finished Sunny Hostin's Summer on the Bluffs and I'm devastated. It's over. Like, that's what I'm talking about reading. Like, let's I think I've just gone to the adult version of my middle grade love as a child. Yeah. And so for me, travel's a really important part of the process. And that when you say, where does it really begin? Some people, they might find, like I grew up playing field hockey. Maybe when you're in your sport, like you're getting
moving your body, shower. Yeah. Those are places I hear from people where it drops in, you get that idea and you have to like rush out of the shower to try and write something down on a piece of paper.
Yeah, it's funny. I never have those moments of like, I got to write this down. I have more moments of like, an idea starts and then it just keeps blooming and blooming and blooming. And then I say, okay, I have the thing I want to write about.
Yeah. Almost like it's got enough space to marinate, to move around, to form without needing to be jotted down. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So once you start writing, how do you write? Like times of day, rhythms, favorite apps, things you do's, don't do's. Has there been consistency or has it changed for you?
I will say I'm a very fast writer. And obviously when I'm working on multiple series, I obviously am not doing all the writing myself, but all the concepts, all the setup of every series, I do that 100% myself. Every character I write 100% myself. And so in those moments though, it's those walks and the time, like I said, I let things marinate. So when I go to get it down on the page, it's not that I just sit there and I'm like, I'm so inspired. It's like, I've been thinking about this for a while. Like the series I'm going to work on, you know, I'm traveling. I told you I'm going to Africa for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this series for a few months now, even if it's conversations, bits and pieces here and there. So when I sit down to start rewriting these characters, I've been kind of marinating on it for a while. Yeah. So the writing happens really fast for me. But it's the fact that I've been thinking about it for a while. And that's why it can happen that way. Like if I just had to come up with something and I hadn't thought about it, it might take me quite a while to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I hear almost it's like a lengthy preparation phase. You're like, I'm preparing to write. I'm preparing to write. I'm preparing to write. I'm curious, does it feel like it really stays in your head and just like takes up space? Or do you have files? Is it conversations with people? Is it audio memos? Or really it's like, it's just marinating up there until it's ready to be written down.
Sometimes it's conversations like, and I will say sometimes there are like breakthrough conversations. Like I'm going to work with a writer on my new series and I was talking with her And I've got to do the whole setup, the outline, everything, get it ready for her to come in and help me. And I said, I'm thinking I'm going to change these characters in this way. I'm thinking I'm going to approach their families this way, just to get some initial feedback. And I might ask a couple people, what do you think about this? And what do you think about the series being based here? And really be thoughtful. But when I sit down to open that Google Doc and get it done, you know, if I write a treatment for a book, like the 4 to 6 pages, it's done in an hour. You know, I've written it in an hour.
Yeah.
So I'm really fast. And then I thank God for Grammarly, right?
Yeah, totally.
Go back, edit it, make sure. I'll tell you a funny thing. So one of my favorite teachers in college, I went to a women's college called Hood College. It's now co-ed, but it was a women's college when I went there. And there's like very famous English professor. And, you know, you would love it when she would say, you've written a darn good sentence, right? I get that a couple of times, but she told me when she said, you are a good writer. You will always be a B+ writer. You're not going to be an A writer, but it's okay because, you know, you write very clear. And I always thought about that and chuckled. And I'm like, if I can write in a way that people understand, I'm okay not being an A+ writer. But I think it's important for girls to understand, like, I was not considered like on the track to be some Pulitzer Prize winning writer, right? I just, I have a degree in journalism. And my thought was always, how do I get these ideas across as clearly as possible? How do I create characters that resonate with people? And being a marketer with my background, you know, my background is writing to convince people to have interest in specific products, right? So the clarity and wanting you to feel a certain emotion or certain attachment has been a part of my process for a very, very, very long time. And so I just kind of transferred those skills to middle grade fiction writing.
You know, I'm also hearing that for you, it was so built in writing these stories, who you were writing to. Right? You were like, I know who I'm writing for. And I'm curious for, you know, people listening in, I would bet, especially some of our preteens and teens, it might not be top of your head, like who you're writing for. Nobody ever asked that to you when they assigned you a creative writing assignment for school, even. It was like, oh, you're writing for your teacher. Hope they like it. Or you're writing for yourself because it was fun to write. Or, you know, so many pieces of writing that I did, I was so shy. I hoped nobody would see them, you know? So like writing for, but I think it might be a great question for folks to ask themselves as they sit down to write is, who's my reader? Like if writing as connection, you know, writing as a way of sharing experiences.
I think you make a great point. And it's so interesting you say that because I often say, I will never, knock on wood, but I'll never write for YA. YA is a totally different, you know, and YA young adult is a completely different reader, right? Yeah. I'm not going to write chick lit or write for adult women. I understand what 7 to 13 year old girls like. I was kind of obsessed with it as a part of my career. I hone in on those emotions, those feelings, those thoughts, and I write to that. Yeah. And I cannot take on anything else. And I think the marketer in me who realizes like, this is the sweet spot I want to continue to create for this girl. And also my characters and where they are in their life stages match my readers and where they are in theirs. And that's where the match comes in, you know? And even if I create this escapism or these worlds or boarding school, it's like, you may not go to boarding school like Z, but you understand what it feels like to, you know, have teachers and doctors talking about the fact that you may have ADHD, right? You understand what it's like to be diagnosed with a learning or attention issue. And you can experience that through Z or see how she's coping with a new country and you know, the newness that comes with junior high, right? And so I hope to always create and make sure I've got those emotions built in so that the reader immediately feels like, well, I'm not going to boarding school in the Cotswolds, but I feel connected to this character in some way.
Yeah. Like I've had new experiences. I've had experiences of feeling different. I've had experiences that, they're different than Z's, but I can see how Z is dealing with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so for young folks listening in, one of the things that I'm hearing Tina talk about that feels really, really powerful to me is to connect to what you know and that sweet spot. And I, you know, like write what you know. I mean, I've heard many of writing teachers say versions of that, but it may even feel as a young person, there might be moments you're like, what do I know? And you know plenty. You have feelings, honey. People got feelings, right? Like you have all of the years of living you've already done. And please don't let anybody older tell you that. That's like not enough. It's so enough. if you're present with what is. But I would advise to be with what you know rather than trying to imitate somebody older's writing. Like, you've got such great writing to do. So go do what you're excited about, what lights you up, what you wish there was more of in the world for folks your age. And as you grow older, you'll get to have more experiences and write more of what you know.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish someone had said that to me earlier.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite character from all the ones you've written? Do you have one that you love that you're just like, oh, love writing them?
Goodness. I mean,
just curious.
Z, I just adore Z.
Yeah, you're in it with, are you in it with Z in the new one or no that you're working
on? No, I mean, I just wrote a treatment for the sixth book in the Z Files series, which will be the 11th book I've written about Z. And so I just feel like I know her so well.
Yeah.
I have a new series that's coming end of this year called Honest June. And it's about a girl who can't tell a lie and how she survives middle school being blessed with this ability. And I find June, you know, I'm just getting to know her. You know, we're one book in, working on book two now. I feel like I'm getting to know June Jackson, but I really like her.
Yeah.
And then I'm just about to start a new series called The Stitch Click. And it's about a tight-knit group of friends who meet in this DIY class, and there are five girls. And so it's not going to be focused on any one of them. It's going to be kind of a rotating type thing. And I'm just getting to know them. You know, I have some starter thoughts about them, but now that's part of my work when I'm traveling, is to really craft those characters. And so, but I will tell you the one character, she's coming. So we just finished book four in the Z Files series. It's called A Very Malibu Vacay. And in this book, Mackenzie Z goes back from London with her family. They go back to California for the holidays. And so there's a mean girl in the Mackenzie Blue series, Kathy, who now shows up in this series because she's seeing friends almost from the original. And I just loved her being back. And she's kind of a mean girl, but I just love, like, I love her vibe, you know?
There's layers to mean girls. There always is.
Like, wow, I wish I could be Kathy Barney some days and just like what I'm thinking and feel like. So I kind of like envy her sometimes in a way, but she's been really fun to have those moments. And she was just one of my favorite characters in the original Z Files series. And so super happy to see her. Yeah. To kind of get to see her again in this new series.
Yeah. Well, a big theme of this age group, as I know you know, and I hear it throughout your writing and through these stories, is friendship, right? Is how we navigate friendship. And I'm curious, welcome to the Be Real podcast, how your experience of friendship has shaped you writing about friendship, whether you draw on experiences from that age of your life, whether it feels really like you're witnessing others, or you pull stories from your, you know, adult life, middle schoolers grown up, but not grown up sometimes. Yeah. To write about friendship.
All of the above, I would say. So I went to a really small private school. And so I actually had the same group of girls in school from like seventh grade through graduation. And so it was really interesting I remember when I got to college and I was like, you can actually decide not to be friends with someone and not have to see that person again. That was not my experience growing up, because I can be as mad as I want, but I'm going to see you, you know, the next year, there you are every day, every class, you know? And so, and I'm the oldest of six, and my parents were really big on making us resolve conflict with each other. And so you will see that a lot in my books, that the idea that the characters have to resolve or have a conversation or talk, there's a lot of talking about these situations, and that definitely is something that's very personal. And I will say I've had like the same group of friends since, you know, I was in my teens or 20s, you know? Yeah. And so I think that idea of Z or any of my characters, like friendship being important, I think that friendship for women is so important. You know, I think there's so much we can do with a good circle of friends. Right. Yeah. And I think that, as we have experienced this like new digital age and as it evolves, the idea of what a friend means or what a network means is ever changing and growing, but friendship is so important. You know, I look at my mother in her 60s and her good friendships, and it's like, those friendships are just important, but we can see throughout time, it's like, well, we had a blow up here and then we came back together there. And so I think that that's normal, but it's, for me, it's showing the conversations and that things happen. We just have to talk through them and work through them. And, you know, and it's also okay to set boundaries and say, I'm not going to allow you to be mean to me. And I think you see that with Z a lot, is that like, I've got to set a boundary here. Okay. Like, I need help figuring that out.
Yeah. I love the emphasis on like healthy conflict. I feel like I wish that was talked about more when I was that age. I really didn't know how to do it that much, you know? And so it felt like either avoid conflict or, oh no, there's a conflict, like just back away, you know? Like that means if we have a conflict, we can't be friends. There wasn't a lot of like real resolution tools. And so I just feel like it's so important, because we talk about it in the Academy a lot, like through healthy conflict, we can evolve our relationship. It's one of the ways we get to know each other better. We get to grow up together. We get to learn together. And
true,
you know, they're really meaningful friendships that see us, that help us feel supported. I know for me, it's just felt like nothing in my life has been possible without some amazing friends who've had my back. Like really, I'm like, oof, the tough spots I've gotten through because someone else has been on the other end of the phone or cooked me a good meal or been with me while I celebrated or cried or did whatever it was that season of life.
Yeah. It's so true. And I have three younger sisters too. And yes. So I have like a built-in group of girlfriends.
Yes.
And you want to talk about healthy conflict, have a group of sisters you can't get rid of. So you can't unhook them. You will learn some healthy. And then I always say, I'm like, well, you have to resolve it, because my three sisters will just go do something without me. And shame in the fact that I wasn't invited. And so it's like on my agenda to get it resolved, because they absolutely will continue.
Like, yeah, you're like, I want to go on that next trip. Yeah, I want to come. I want to go out to lunch. Yeah.
Like, I'll see the photo like, excuse me, I didn't get invited to that.
Yeah, totally. So if somebody, let's say an amazing young writer in our community, was like wanting to get writing more, do you have any favorite writing prompts or exercises that you teach or that you practice or that you would recommend as a writing practice to get into it?
Yeah, I think no matter the age, I think the gold standard book is called The Artist Way.
Yeah.
And I think that the practice now, this isn't my practice. One of my writing partners, this is her practice, is the kind of writing every day and just free writing.
Yeah.
That's not, I'm not a free writer. So that's not my process at all. Yeah. My process though is really, travel is a big part of my process. Like being immersed in new cultures and places and getting that inspiration is important. Yeah. I read like crazy. I am a seriously voracious reader and always have been. And I read magazines like crazy, right? So I'm always just trying to like learn about new ideas, new characters. I do watch a lot of TV, but the writing, but I'm doing a lot of the work in my head. So like I said, when I finally get to the page, it's a very fast process, but I'm thinking about it for a long time. And then, you know, I might, you know, be reading a magazine and think, oh, this character definitely would travel to this place, or she'd be obsessed with this celebrity, and it just like prompts something. And so, you know, that's really important for me. And yeah, I mean, I think everybody has to find a process that works for them. But the first thing I think is figuring out where you get your inspiration from. And that's just a general question. Yeah. What do you do that actually really lights you up and really excites you? You know, for me, it can be cooking a meal for my friends. It could be like right now, I just moved into a new place. So it's very focused on design right now and just looking for design inspiration. And so those things, just being in that place of being inspired, ultimately leads me to doing, you know, better writing, because I had to write many books during the pandemic, and this was with very limited travel, but I still, you know, one thing, I'll tell you a funny story. What became very inspirational for me, I was not a YouTube watcher, and all of a sudden I had all this time, and I never had time before. And I just started watching tutorials. I didn't really know a lot about makeup. You know, I knew the things I liked, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like 10 years behind on what products are great. And I just kept watching and watching it. And like, these people are doing hauls, and these are things I knew from like a research perspective, but not as a consumer, not with my business hat on, but just as Tina, who is following this really cool makeup artist. And so I found that was great fuel to have to write the books I was writing, because I found something new that was so new to me. And I'm like, you mean people just go on Instagram? And obviously I knew this, but I never had time to watch it, you know? And I'm like, this is insanely amazing. Like, where'd they get that lighting? How are they doing this time lapse? Like, it was just very, but it was very motivating for me. And so I would say, if you think you have a writer's block, go do the thing you really love to do, or try something new. You know, I can't tell you how many times I was like doing my Tracy Anderson workout and like, I have such a great idea for a new story. You know, it's like, because you're in that moment of just like thinking and moving. And then you're like, oh, I just got a big idea.
Thank you for normalizing that, because I feel like so many people, or even like writing teachers, I'll say it, kind of scary writing teachers that I've had, are like, here's the strict process by which to be the right, perfect writer. And like, I, you know, like it never works for me. I rebel outside of it. I'm like, that's not, but you being, what inspires you, right? To offer that question, to like, what inspires you? And I'm thinking, because I'm kind of a nerd about the nervous system and the body, it's one of my areas, and how much biologically that lines up when we get in that place of inspiration, like literally like brainstem fluid starts moving and the creativity centers light up, right? We're more likely to have those fresh ideas. So it's less about managing the perfect process and the perfect steps, and more about, you know, managing our energy and our inspiration. Like, what are you surrounding yourself by? Like, you are worthy of that. It's going to fuel your creativity. You're like, yeah, I'm doing home design lately to fuel my creativity. And it's like, oh my God, right? Like, and it might look different, you know, for each of us. I'm thinking about, for me, it's so much about music and playlists and the songs that make me feel things. For me, it's a lot about nature. It's a lot about solitude. I haven't gotten a ton of that. Actually, I've been in the pandemic life surrounded by people. And so it's been like finding a quiet moment. It's a lot about sensuality, things that feel good, like a delicious smelling candle, you know, the hot shower, those things that just actually help my body relax, feel safe, feel curious. Like, that's where I find my creativity starts to show up. And spring is doing it. As we were talking about before recording, it's like spring flowers everywhere outside for me right now. And something about, it's like hard to have a rough mental health day when I'm out there walking. And those days just feel like a million ideas popping up right alongside the spring air.
You know, so I wasn't great.
Told that in a writing class. You know, go for a walk, balance your nervous system.
I'm definitely not the one for the, like the classic. I mean, as my English teacher told me when I was just like a B+ writer,
so this is
a B+ version of how to get this done.
Yeah. Love breaking out of the classic. You know, I think that's also looping back to where we started around calling ourselves a writer and being a writer. I think part of the definition I had was you do the writing rules that the English teacher says are what good writers do.
Yeah.
And I don't, and I never did. And I think also, and this one for sure feels a little tender, is like, I never was interested in writing about the things that most of my writing teachers thought was important. Mm-hmm. I was interested in writing about women and feelings and my life. Yeah. And I didn't have a lot of teachers growing up where that was that important. We looked at what a lot of old white guys wrote about, I don't know, themselves or the world. And I got to college and thankfully it began to shift a little bit. I found some like amazing badass professors who asked different questions. But yeah, I think there was a certain definition of writer. And I looked around and not a lot of the books I was assigned in school had writers who were interested in the questions I was interested in. And that took a bit of redefining for me.
I think for me, so I was in an honors program in college. And so I had to read, I read some of my favorite books in one of my classes. And then I remember reading a lot of things that I wouldn't have read under any other circumstances. And I always, you know, some things like, when is this over? But there are other things where I'm like, this is a gem. And if I weren't assigned to read this, would I actually have read this and would I have actually understood this? You know, I'll tell you something really funny.
Yeah.
When I went to elementary, well, I guess it was middle and high school. It was like a Latin day school.
Yeah.
So I took 8 years of Latin, and I like my specialty, I became really good at like Latin translation. And what you're translating are these like Greek mythology stories. So actually like loved those stories of the underworld.
I was obsessed with Greek mythology. I dressed up as Artemis for like 6 years. So I feel you. Keep going.
Yeah. And so it's funny to like think back to that. And I'm like, maybe that was the first time that I realized I wanted to do this type of creative writing. But had I not been in school and not been taking, it's like you can take Latin or Greek or Hebrew. And I was like, well, I'm going to go for Latin because honestly, I wanted to be in the National Latin Awards, which I competed in. And then if you won, if you got a perfect score, you would get, this is how old I am, a set of Encyclopedia Britannica.
Amazing.
And I was always like one question off.
But aww,
like, you know, all that to say to any, you know, of my younger listeners, sometimes you're like, why do I have to subject myself to reading this? And what I find is like, there's still a moment of inspiration there that you may not realize until you are, or we are able to make our own decisions, right? Like what I had to read during my school year was obviously not what I read over my summers. You know, it was like, not about this, their summer. Like I would power through their summer reading list and then move on to what I wanted to read, which was to most people, like I could read, I could still read a Fear Street book every day. They were like so exciting back then, you know? And so I think having a balance of both is really good. And there was a period of time where I would read The New Yorker every week because I needed to learn more words and I needed to improve my vocabulary. And someone had said to me once, like, oh, if you want to do that, you should read The New Yorker every week. And so I did in my 20s. That was something I did to really help. You know, some people do a word of the day, but for me, it was like context and being really clear. Like, and I will say, if studying Latin for 8 years helps you contextually break words down pretty easily, you know? And so that's a helpful thing too. But, you know, I would say if you really are like, I want to be a writer, you've got to come up with some exercises for yourself to kind of challenge and just broaden your vocabulary. And I wish I had continued to do that. Now, I write middle grade. If I wrote for adult, I don't think I would at all have the capacity to write an adult book, you know, given my writing skill set. I think I'm well matched with middle grade.
Yeah. Okay. Can we talk about what I feel like is the courage of sharing our work with other people? And I'm curious, you know, you said that a key part for you, you know, is writing up this treatment or writing up the synopsis of it and then sharing it with people or talking to people about your ideas and characters. I'm curious if that feels comfortable to you now or scary or vulnerable. And if it does feel comfortable, if it's always felt that way.
Yeah, it's funny. It's always felt very comfortable for me. But again, I come from a background of running an agency and presenting and owning those creative ideas. And so it's always been a point of comfort for me where I'm like, this is what I'm working on, because I'm also really open to the criticism of this isn't landing right. Like I think being in my area of expertise, I always had to be open to a consumer, right? The audience saying this marketing campaign isn't right. I don't like this. Or if I'm in focus groups, like I told you, the mom and the break from a focus group. So in my career, that feedback has and feed forward have always been important. And so I can kind of remove myself from it when I'm creating in a way to say this concept isn't right for this audience, right? Like not I'm a bad writer. It's like, I'm proficient. I just need to make sure that that I'm actually creating what my audience, what tweens want or need right now. And that I'm doing that. And so when I put them first, it almost removes, like, I'm not writing to make myself feel good, if that makes sense. Like I'm writing to have a connection with an audience and have my audience feel seen.
Yeah. Yeah, you're writing to connect. Is the connection working?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I'm writing to make, so if that is my obsession, is when I wrote about my first book ever about someone stealing Mackenzie's diary and sharing her secrets, I can't tell you how many girls emailed me and said, this like, I'm afraid of this too. This is my great fear, you know? And so that to me is really important. So I don't take it personally. You know, that's why, you know, the setup phase is so crucial for me.
Yeah.
So that I'm approaching a subject that I know that I know that I know that girls want to know more about. But there's a lot of and that's my research background. You know, like if people say, oh my God, how could you take a girl and make her live at a boarding school in the cottage, so upper class? I said, you're missing the point. The point is, in this life stage, girls are seeking some kind of semblance of independence. And so boarding school doesn't represent, you know, a rich girl lifestyle. It represents this faux independence where she still needs her parents, but she's, you know,
living her own life. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm like, what girl didn't dream about as a teenager or tween going to boarding school to not have to see mom and dad every day?
Yeah, because you know? So, yeah.
Exactly. So that's where I spend so much time there that I don't think I'm focused on, is this writing going to connect? Because in that process of setup, my readers will tell me what's working and not working. Even in just like me talking to my niece or talking to other girls and saying, I'm writing about this. What do you think? I mean, my niece gave me some really harsh feedback to a new series I'm working on. And she said to me, you know, Aunt Tina, just don't make it stereotypical. Just like, don't you dare do that. And I was like, well, I wasn't going to do that. But it was so interesting to hear even the beginning concepts. I'm like, I have to go back and refine this because she's even saying, and don't have this person from this town do this thing, because that's what people think happens if you're from that kind of town. And I'm like, okay, this is good to know up front, you know?
Yeah. Wanting it to be that it connects, but not in a way that's a stereotype, the way that
exactly.
deep and real, you know? I love that you're saying that, because I think so many people, myself included, couldn't hear that enough times of that it's not us, right? You know, our work is not us. It's the work that is of service to somebody else. And I love that, circling back around to that piece we were talking about earlier of who are you writing this for? And if you're clear who you're writing this for, then it becomes about, you know, connecting with them and less about, oh, this is proof that I am worthy as a writer or as a human, which we get to laugh about, but you know what I mean? But like, and hopefully y'all listening can laugh with us and be like, oh my God, isn't it that so silly that I maybe thought that for a moment, or, you know, because you already are worthy and you already are a writer, you write. And so now it's about connecting, because, you know, if we have writing or, you know, creative work or art of any kind, whatever your medium is, there are other people that are involved, right? So it's about that connection.
Absolutely.
If you're sharing it in any form, otherwise, write on in your diary, go on and don't share it with somebody else. Make sure somebody doesn't steal it. Make sure somebody doesn't steal your diary. Oh, well, I'm so excited you get to go travel more and get more creativity coming your way so soon to inspire these new amazing books. You said that you have a new series coming out this fall. Where can we get it? What's it about? Any details you can tell us?
Yes. So Honest June will be released exclusively at Target end of September, and then wherever books are sold end of December. And then in 2 weeks, actually, there's a new Z-Files book dropping. It's called Girl/Friend. It'll be a very fun summer read. And so that will be exclusive to Target. And then the fourth book in the Z-Files series will come in November, right before Thanksgiving. And that's a very Malibu vacay. So that is anyone who's like read Mackenzie Blue, it's like the two worlds colliding. I think that's going to be a really fun book as well.
I always loved when two worlds collided. I was always very committed to the author who wrote epic books, and I would just read everyone. And I had full shelves with series that I would try and stock up on as my most prized possessions. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Tina. I'm so grateful for your time, your work in the world, your creativity, and so excited for even more of these books to be shared with young readers all over the world.
Thank you. Thank you, Eliza. It's been great to just chat about, you know, something I don't get to talk about so often. So thank you for letting me have the space to talk about how I get to do and create these things. Thank you.
It was so great to have this amazing conversation with Tina. Thanks for listening in, y'all. And wanted to give a shout out that in the show notes, we're going to do our best to have the most updated links to Tina's amazing books. We did record this in the spring of 2021. So her release dates are all that she talks about at the end of the episode are all related to that. But you can find it online, find them at Target often, and many other places. Enjoy. So grateful for you being here, and talk soon. All right. Thanks for hanging with me today, love. If you want more, we got more. Head over to badassgirls.me to get some good free stuff, like Spotify playlists to keep you feeling awesome, videos, more real talk, and to go on adventures with us, inner and in real life, in our programs. I've got the best team. They're amazing. I can't wait for you to meet them. Let's talk soon.
You got this.